And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. It's hard to believe that it has been a year since the COVID pandemic started to bear down on us. And many things have changed since then as organizations like Bartlett Memorial Hospital have moved quickly to adapt. And we have two new developments to tell you about today. And joining us, Billy Gardner, the hospital's chief operating officer, and John Fortin, the hospital's lab director. And Billy, I want to start with you. Does this COVID milestone seem sort of strange to you? Can you remember what it was like when you first started to mobilize?
Yes, Rhonda, I do. It was really, really unsettling as we saw the effects the COVID virus was having down south, especially in other communities, hospitals, and populations. It was pretty terrifying, in fact. But to the credit of the folks at Juno, the physicians and the folks who work here in this community, a group of local businesses, leaders, CBJ, BRH, and other entities and organizations began looking for ways to protect the Juno economy and, more importantly, the health of our Juno citizens. And one of the ways we identified to do this was through mass testing. Now, if you'll go back a year, you'll remember there was no vaccination in sight. We didn't believe the vaccination was going to reach at least our community as quickly as it did. So we knew that we knew relatively little about the COVID disease. So we knew the tools we'd need would be testing, quarantining positive cases, protective measures, social distancing, masking, hand washing. But we knew we needed reliable results. And at the time, outside labs we were using had limitations. They were becoming overwhelmed with mass testing. Or here in Juneau, with the weather, we couldn't get the samples to fly out, right? So this group of folks realized very quickly we needed a reliable way to test and get turnaround time on the results. And so that's what really drove us to get the Roche COVID 6800 for mass testing.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that later on, but John Fortin, can you tell us a little bit about your memories going back a year ago this time?
Yeah, Rhonda, I can. So, I think, Billy described kind of what it was like. It was at a time where there were so many unknowns that it was a matter of getting everybody or a group of people in Juneau together who were experts to be able to make hard and good decisions on, what equipment and things that we needed to do. It was very obvious right up front that allocations of what you could get as far as even doing the test locally, they weren't there. We weren't getting supplies from the states. You couldn't reach out to vendors because they couldn't supply you anything at all. So it was a lot of scrambling around between trying to do what testing we could locally, but also making sure that we had good sources to send samples, south. And so that was a big work that we did at the hospital. But unfortunately, we couldn't keep up with the volume. So we needed a whole group of other people, Department of Health and Social Services, some of these new vendors that came in that took over the airport, just so we could keep the testing up to keep these numbers down here in Juneau.
Well, the hospital's operations were definitely affected by all of these changes that were happening at once. And of course, one of those was how you could get into the hospital and if there was an emergency, how you would get into the emergency room. So I understand that today is the first day that there's a new entrance that kind of benefits from all the hard lessons learned over the last year.
That's correct, Rhonda. And there's more information on this on our Facebook site, but to put it in a nutshell, our primary concern is keeping patients and staff, employees, safe during the COVID screening process. So in addition to the front entrance we have for non-ED patients in the process that we have published, we needed a safe way to get patients through the ED because that's where patients are going to present. And we don't know on the front end whether or not they have COVID. So to do this, we worked with CBJ Engineering, with our Kim McDowell, our ED director, with our facilities group, to really find a solution to get patients in safely. And remember, to do this, you need negative pressurizations. Of course, you need protection from the outdoor elements. And so we constructed a triage building out back. So on the ground level, outside of the ED, you will see a new process or a new area for patients to come through to get their ED screening and triaging done.
But if you're not going to the emergency department, then you just kind of come through the front entrance for screening?
That is correct. You present at the front entrance. We have a desk set up there with helpers who will greet the family and the folks and get a band on them, take their temperature, and do a brief screening. And then, very importantly, make sure that they're wearing a mask and that they wash their hands right there with the sanitizer dispensers we have.
So are you surprised that you were able to accomplish this within a year? Because, you know, you had a lot of other stuff going on to come up with this workaround for COVID.
You know, I got to tell you, we really, truly moved heaven and earth to get this done. And I think it is a great testament to the city and the good folks in Juneau that collaborated together to really accomplish this. And, you know, John, I wanted John to mention a little about ordering these machines and how that process went, because that's the challenge. You have the entire nation fighting for the same supplies. We're a community of 32,000. And to try to prove that we're a priority when you have LA, San Diego, you have Charleston, South Carolina, these larger cities, that's a challenge.
Yeah, and Billy's right. It was that was definitely one of the reasons why the specialized group, we not only reached out to a single vendor, we reached out to three different vendors that could supply the equipment that we needed. And it was a matter of rolling the dice, honestly, to see which company was able to come through. And the company we ended up going with is Roche, and they produce a beautiful analyzer called the 6800. It's a high throughput analyzer. It can push through about 1,000 tests a day, maybe a little bit more. And it also has a complexity that's not too, it's moderate complexity, meaning that you can have a little bit of freedom with the type of personnel that is actually doing some of the testing.
So basically, you got a new entrance, which people can see and know that that's different, but the lab is something that they're not going to kind of push behind the curtains and always see. What is special about this lab, and why did you need it, and how is it going to help?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that's special about this lab, especially for a small acute care facility like us, is that, you know, it's really changing our scope of what we do, from basic laboratory medicine to dealing with hospital patients to that of doing reference lab testing. And when I mean that, reference labs mean you have a lot of the same sample type going through. And so at first, you know, none of the equipment that we had in the main lab could handle mass testing. And so that was a big challenge for us. And so we had to, again, we had to put things together piece by piece. We ended up, deciding that because of this type of analyzer, the size of this analyzer, there was no way we could put it in the lab that was currently built. And so working with everybody here at Bartlett and facilities, and we decided on a good location that would accommodate the size and the weight and, you know, reduce vibrations for this analyzer, and put it together. And so, and then as we found out the main vendor was able to deliver this analyzer, it was a rush. It was a rush with CBJ Engineering. It was a rush for us trying to get things, ordering extra supplies, hoods, and all the other things that you have to do that make it a safe environment for the people that are actually doing the testing.
So is there anything in the Alaskan DNA, so to speak, because we are always getting ready for stuff and stuff always happens to us. Do you think that made it possible for you to mobilize?
Yeah, I think that, I think people realize we are an isolated, geographically challenged community. And Rhonda, when we saw construction companies clear their schedule to get this done, people at the city really find ways to go through process, the citizens, you know, that were making so many donations and supplies and the time and and the efforts that go into this from the community. It's the Alaska way, and I think people realize we've got to come together. We're all in this together and find solutions together and make it happen. And I think this community excels at that.
Well, one of the things I had heard is that Senator Lisa Murkowski, when she visited Juneau last week, spent a lot of time checking out that lab. What was she interested in?
Yes, Senator Murkowski did present last week. It was a really good visit. And what, you know, she realized that CARES funding from the government had helped purchase the cost of the machine. But I think what she was exploring was ways that she could assist the state with her power to help with the operating costs. So I'll let John talk a little bit about those challenges. I think John and Robin, his laboratory scientist, did an amazing job with her. And just so you know, I had prepared the laboratory department for a 10-minute visit with the senator, and she was there over an hour. So, yeah. John?
Senator Murkowski, it was an honor to have her just come through the hospital, but even go to the lab. That was very, very special for us. But yes, she was very interested in, what is it going to keep to maintain the testing? There is a huge amount of upfront costs that were done just for the capital purchase and the construction. But the long term to keep this thing going, along with contracts that you have to sign with the vendors, it runs up, $30,000 plus a week. And so, at some way we have to figure out how we're going to keep this thing alive if we can't, get anything back from like federal funds or like that. So it is a kind of big concern for us.
So in a nutshell, how, I know that this is being phased in, that it won't be fully up and running, but what kind of a difference is it going to make? What are people going to notice about having this facility?
I believe the big thing will be the turnaround times. So we will be able to basically produce a result from the time of collection within less than 24 hours. And so we won't have the logistic nightmares of dealing with airplanes or, sending it to a different lab, but our sample's getting bumped because there's a higher priority for something else. So I think it just brings, Juneau an ability to basically, take care of ourselves. And, everything from the testing to the collecting kits are all being produced and going to be done here locally. So tomorrow, it's the 23rd, and we're going to have our soft live opening tomorrow. We're going to start taking some of the pre-procedural and some of the dentist office samples, which will be turned around, and they'll have results tomorrow versus having to wait 2-3 days. Eventually down the road, we hope to take on, the airport and some other things as we get more and more ability to bring more reagents in. Right now, we're under kind of a strict allocation, and that's a lot of the reason why we want to phase this in. We want to learn what's working and what's not working. And so hopefully by the end of March, we'll start seeing, higher volumes and more of ability for our lab to basically do all the testing for any person that would need it here in Juneau.
So in wrapping things up, I think it'd be interesting to find out how much you've learned from dealing with COVID. And were those lessons helpful to your overall operations, not just COVID? And do you think they'll be helpful into the future?
I do, Rhonda. As a facility, one of the challenges is to see what pandemic changes you've made that should be actually hardwired and go beyond the pandemic. And I think when we sat down and drew out a list of how many folks contributed, what the departments did, what the operations was, it just was incredible. We learned so much that'll take us, and we're going to hardwire a lot of these changes for future pandemics, but also for more efficiency and a better overall operation model. And that, I got to tell you, a lot of folks here at Bartlett and in the community really pulled together and really made this happen in record time. I've been in healthcare over 25 years, and I can say this project probably was one of the best put together, well thought through, but also the quickest I've seen.
Yeah, and I've been in labs for 30 plus years, and I will say that the work from, as I said, the construction folks, from my main scientist, Robin, to my LIS person, Britt Waters, it was a full effort for every one of them. A lot of extra stress on if they're doing that plus their other job. to get this thing up and going. It was amazing work by all the people that were involved.
Sounds like a cast of hundreds, and maybe the silver lining in the COVID that we learned we can work together and accomplish things. Well, I want to thank you for bringing us up to date on the hospital's COVID front. Thanks for joining us, Billy Gardner, the hospital's chief operating officer, and John Fortin, Bartlett's lab director. Thank you both.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, Rhonda.